Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
How are you doing? Are you ready for more? Ready for what God wants to do today? Well, why don't we again just lift our hands to heaven? God, we just thank you right now as we come around your word. God, I thank you that your word transforms us. God, that we don't interpret the word, God, our way, but we are here to say, would you speak to us how you want to speak to us? Would you reveal what you want to reveal? Would you do heart surgery right now on the inside of us? God, get us ready for more. We're here to say we want more of what you've got for us. We don't want to miss a moment. So God, I just pray right now that you would speak, that you would have your way, that it would not be my words right now, but it would be your words. Holy Spirit, that you would do what only you can do and you would speak to hearts and that you would bring transformation in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen, amen. You can have a seat. So good. I'm going to get straight into it today because I haven't got long, but I have a message in my heart that I know God has got for us as a family coming together over this weekend. And I'm excited about it because it's a crucial message for us as Christians. It is a crucial message for how we navigate the life that God has entrusted to us. Jesus, when he was with his disciples, he said to them, guys, you will have trouble in this earth, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So we know trouble is going to come our way and we need to know how to deal with it. We need to know the right godly response to it and how God wants us to navigate our lives. So we're going to kick straight into it and go to 2 Samuel 6, verse 12 to 23. And from verse 14, we're actually going to pick it up from there. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. While he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished doing all the sacrifices, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women. All the people went to their homes. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, how the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would. And David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house that he appointed me ruler of the Lord's people, Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. Got it. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. What a tragic piece of scripture. You look at that story and you think, Michal, what were you thinking? What was going on in your brain to think that you could treat David with that kind of disdain, with that kind of resentment? Michal, what were you thinking? He was coming to bless you. He was coming to bless his household. He was coming to pour out favor over your life, but you treat him with that kind of resentment and it lost her fruitfulness. But if you look at the backstory of Michal, we see that she once was in love with David. She once was in love with this strapping young fellow that just wherever he went, he had success. And her father, King Saul at the time, found out that she was in love with David. So said to David, you can have my daughter's hand in marriage if you go and kill 200 Philistines, cut off their foreskins and give it to me. Just a little note here. When Craig bought me flowers when we were engaged, it kind of feels like a very half-hearted effort
compared to 200 foreskins. I'm like, babe, where was the battle? Where did you even fight for me? Flowers over foreskins. I'm like, but he fought for her hand. He loved her. They had this incredible chemistry, a marriage born of romance. But then King Saul ends up jealous of David, and Michal ends up helping him run to go into hiding from King Saul. And then we discover that 7 years they are apart. And during those 7 years, King Saul gives Michal to another man to marry. And then David comes back after 7 years, becomes king after Saul, and he wants Michal back as his wife. But we discover the man that she's married is very much in love with her. As she leaves him, he's weeping behind her, in love with her again, and he's pulled away from her, and she's given to David once again. But this time, she's not the only wife. This time, there's many other wives. She's probably not the favored wife anymore. So what we know is disappointment would have been so real for Michal. It would have been so real for her situation, and she probably allowed disappointment to get into her heart, and it led to bitterness and to resentment. And then she reacted out of that place, and it lost her fruitfulness. And I think it's a really challenging passage of scripture for us. Because if we react out of disappointment, we end up losing our kingdom fruitfulness. And honestly, over the 20 years of ministry that I have been in, I have seen more Christians taken out by disappointment than anything else in ministry. I've seen people start by loving God's house, serving God's house, but then a disappointment comes up, maybe a disappointment with leadership or an offense gets in, and they end up leaving church, and their fruitfulness that was meant to build God's house, build God's kingdom, is no longer there because they've been taken out because of disappointment. I've seen people start out so passionate about loving people, so passionate about discipling people, but then disappointment gets into their heart. Maybe because of how a person treated them, they get burnt by somebody. Then walls go up and it's like, well, I'm no longer going there with people. So again, disappointment causes them to miss out on their fruitfulness. I've seen people start so sure on a miracle, so sure on what God can do, but the miracle doesn't happen the way they expect the miracle to happen. And so disappointment sets in and walls go up again. It's like, well, I'm not going to believe anymore. Just a note on that, we are never called to understand the mystery of the miraculous, but we are called to stand and believe in faith that our God is able to do all things, that our God is able to do the impossible. But I've seen people not believe anymore because disappointment gets set in their heart. We have to be so careful what we allow in our heart. Because whatever we allow in, whatever we allow internally reflects itself externally. Whatever we allow to take place in our heart in seed form ends up producing a harvest in our lives. It ends up producing fruit. See, we are not responsible for what happens to us in life, but we are responsible for what happens in us. We have to protect our internal world, what we allow in our heart space, because it impacts our fruitfulness. It impacts what God can do through us. See, as a young girl, I grew up on a dairy farm. Up till the age of 15, I had three brothers and a sister. And Mum and Dad would send us out to the farm to tackle thistles from a young age. They would give us shovels. There was no safety and health stuff back then. We were just sent out. I remember one day going for thistles and I got my brother's forehead and split it open. I remember going back to Mum and Dad crying, I almost killed my brother. It's like, go back, get the thistles. You know, it was all about getting the weeds. And we had to get weeds out because weeds would block the potential of the fruitfulness of the farm. In our heart, it's exactly the same. If we allow things, seeds to get in, see, weeds are simply bad seeds that are unaddressed. And if we allow things in our heart that shouldn't be there, that don't go
addressed like they need to be, it produces a harvest that is not healthy for our lives, and it causes us to live a life that's limited, restricted, and we don't enter into everything that God has for us. See, Hebrews 12 verse 15 says this, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." We are responsible for what gets in our heart space because it reflects our fruitfulness. So what I want to do today is talk about dealing with disappointment and how we're called to do it. And the first thing is that we've got to embrace praise. Embrace praise. It is so easy, like Mikhail did, when we're in the middle of the disappointment, to look at others who are praising and be like, they're idiots. Look at them praising like they are. David, look at how you're praising. You're disgracing yourself. Look at it. It is so easy to disdain praise when you're in that place of disappointment, when you're in that place of resentment. And we can look at others praising and think, well, it's okay for them. Look at everything that's going on in their world. I mean, look, it's King David. He should praise. But if you look at David's story, he had to overcome disappointment after disappointment after disappointment, but every time he faced it with praise. Even the situation that we're looking at, when he previously, 3 months earlier, had tried to bring the ark into Israel, into Jerusalem, the priests didn't treat the ark correctly. His priests ended up dying. David was so angry, scripture said, that he just left the ark in somebody's house. But then he saw how blessed that household was. 3 months later, came back and praised even harder. Every disappointment David had, he embraced praise with the disappointment. When you look through scripture, Psalm 57 verse 2, when David was hiding from Saul in a cave, he said this, "I will praise you, Lord. I will praise you among the peoples. For great is your love reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies." Psalm 60. Verse 6, when Saul sent men to watch David's house in order to kill him, David penned these words, "You are my strength, I will praise you, my God. You are my fortress, my God, in whom I can rely." Psalm 3, verse 3, when his son Absalom betrayed him, he said this, "But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high." Every moment he had a disappointment, he embraced praise. Praise is powerful in the middle of our disappointment because what it does, it places our hope not in an outcome, but in who our God is. It declares the goodness of our God. It declares his promises in the middle of the problem. It declares his goodness when we look at it and go, "I don't know what you're doing here, God, but I desperately need you." It declares his character. It declares everything that he is able to do. We need to praise to bring God's presence into the middle of our disappointment. This was very real for us when we were in the middle of the first lockdown in Melbourne. And we were 7 months into a 9-month lockdown. And I was sitting with Craig one night. We'd put the kids to bed and he turned around and he said to me, "Babe, I don't want you to freak out." And it's never good when a sentence starts like that. "But we've just been given notice today that we need to get out of our building in 3 months' time." And it was our church building. It was an amazing miracle that God has given us. And you know, when you're in that place where you haven't seen your church people for 7 months, and you're like, "God, already you're feeling distant from them." You're like, "God, why did you even bring us to Australia? To like, what is going on, to Melbourne in particular? What is going on here? Like, what is going on?" And it can be very real in that place. And you want us kicked out of our, you know, the landlord wants us kicked out of our premises in 3 months' time. "God, what are you doing here?" And I remember so clearly God led me to Mark 10, where it's the blind man Bartimaeus, and he's calling on, it says, he calls out for a miracle and he says, "David, son of Jesse, have mercy on me." Sorry, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And he cries out those words. And it's the first time publicly that someone other than a disciple has declared that Jesus is the Messiah. And in that moment, God spoke to me and he said, "In the middle of this, I want you to declare who I am. I want you to declare my goodness. I want you to declare my favor. I want you to declare my character in the middle of what you think is a disappointment." And it was honestly, it's been miracle after miracle. We were just looking to lease again because we looked at our finances as a church. Well, we're probably not in the place to buy. Let's just lease. But God miraculously led us to buy a property that has just been an absolute miracle story. It's in an incredible location in Melbourne City. We had purchased it within 6 weeks of seeing it with full funding. It's a $30 million project, so it's no small project. And God has just continued time after time. Time after time, faithful after faithful after faithful. He has honestly just done an absolute miracle. But if we hadn't praised in the middle of the disappointment, it would have been very easy just to keep your eyes down, just to go, God, where are you in the middle? Let's see, praise lifts our perspective. Praise keeps us looking for the promises in the middle of the problem. We've got to keep embracing praise. The second thing is that we've got to look for the appointment in the middle of the disappointment. Look for the appointment in the middle of the disappointment. See, Romans 8 verse 28 says, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Whatever we face, there is something that God wants to do to bring it to our good. Whatever we're going through, God wants to bring the turnaround. There is always an appointment that God has for us in the middle of our disappointment. But you know what I've found most times when I've faced a disappointment? What I've found is the biggest appointment is to remain, is to stay. You know, when Jesus was about to go to the cross, he said to his disciples, over and over, over and over again, guys, abide in me. Stay. Remain. And he knew they were about to walk through the biggest disappointment of their lives as they saw him crucified, their Savior. And just before that, he said to them, guys, remain. Stay. That word abide is translated from the Greek word meno. 50 times it's used in the Gospel of John. It means to remain, dwell, or make our home in. And he says, abide, make my home, your home in my love. Make your home in my word. Make your home in who I am. See, often when it comes to God, we treat God like a holiday home that we need to go to when we need time to refresh, rather than that home that is our location that everything comes out of. We are called to abide. We are called to stay. We are called to remain. Remain in his church. When we feel like maybe we haven't been treated like we want to be treated, to remain serving him when it feels like, does anybody see me? To remain being faithful to him and what he's asked of you, living in obedience to him. When it feels like you look around at everyone else around you and they're just living their best lives, but here I am just being faithful, just remaining. There is power when we remain. Because when we remain, it produces incredible fruitfulness that often we don't see until many years after we see God's hand through it all. An incredible example of this is my parents. When I was about 15 years of age, our church at the time, we were again just in a small community, but our church at the time had been kicked out of their building. And my dad, who was a dairy farmer, he owned a very successful dairy farm. He felt God say to him, I want you to sell the farm and buy this big piece of commercial property that the church could have a permanent home in. So Dad made this massive step of faith and he brought this piece of commercial property for the church to step into. We all moved into town as a 15-year-old. And often, you know, when you think, when you make those big faith steps in God, that everything's going to be awesome. It's just going to be fantastic. The road's going to be paved with gold. It's going to be awesome. There's going to be an ease to it. But it was the exact opposite. I watched as my mum and dad went through disappointment after disappointment. Disappointment with the church, how it was all treated, how they were treated in the middle of it. Disappointment with work situations, disappointment with accommodation, with housing. It was just disappointment after disappointment. But you know what? I saw my parents remain, to stay. They stayed faithful to that church. They still are 26 years later, faithful to that same church. I saw them remain faithful to God, press in the middle of it, love Jesus through it. I saw them when most people would have spat the dummy, still serving in church, loving God's house. See, so often we allow our disappointment to rob our conviction of the Word of God. And then we miss out being aligned to the Word of God because we're led by our disappointment rather than our convictions. But I saw my parents remain. And 26 years later, I watch them now and I see the blessing of God over their lives and His hand of richness, His hand of blessing, His hand of blessing over us five kids, His hand of blessing as they've remained in the church. You walk into the church, everybody loves them. You walk into the town, they all have a story about how Mark and Jan have changed their lives, have been there when they needed it. They've remained faithful, and because of that, they have produced incredible fruit. But I see... But here's the thing. If I had seen them react in a different way in the middle of their disappointment, if I'd seen them leave church, if I'd seen them just start to drift from God, I often wonder how that would have affected me. Would I be doing what I'm doing if they had reacted differently in their disappointment? And here's the thing. How we react to our disappointment has so much more generational fruit than we could ever possibly understand. Mikal was meant to produce the heir to the throne. She was meant to be the favored first wife. She was meant to see incredible kingdom fruitfulness, but because of her disappointment, she missed out on her fruitfulness. Guys, we are solely, nobody else, we are responsible for our fruitfulness. And if we allow disappointment to get into our heart and settle, we miss out on the fruitfulness that God has for us. You with me? The last point, if the team can join me, please, is that we've got to live with an eternal filter. Dealing with disappointment, we've got to live with an eternal filter. You know what? We are all one day going to be held accountable with the lives that we have led. 2 Corinthians says this, says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due to us. We're going to have two questions that God asks us one day when we pass away and we meet with Jesus. We're going to have two questions. What did you do with my salvation, with what I gave you, with the cross? And then also, what did you do with the giftings I gave you, with the life that I gave you here on earth? And we're going to be rewarded based on what we did for eternity. And you know what? When I have that moment of looking Jesus in the eyes, I want to know that I gave everything for what mattered for eternity. I want to know that this life that He entrusted to me, I gave everything for what mattered to Him, for what mattered to His people, for what mattered for His purpose. And if I get to that moment and I'm like, well, God, you would never believe how they treated me. You'd never believe the disappointment. You know, when I went for that miracle and you didn't do it. You know, when I was burnt by those people. When the church hurt me like that. You look in the eyes of our Savior who gave everything for us. Do you think it's going to measure up? Do you think our excuses are going to matter to our Savior who's always seen the big picture? We have to keep that eternal filter, that we are called to live lives that matter for eternity. And it is a filter that I use over and over again when anything happens that's challenging, when something happens that wants to take me out of ministry, I look at it and I ask myself this question, in the light of eternity, does this really matter? in the light of eternity, what am I going to regret? In the light of eternity, how do I want to conduct myself now? In the light of eternity, what do I want to let in my heart? In the light of eternity, what kind of woman of God do I want to be? In the light of eternity, what do I want to have done with my life? In the light of eternity, I want to look my Jesus in the eyes and say, Jesus, I gave everything for what mattered to you. Jesus, I gave everything for your purpose. Jesus, I gave everything for what matters to your heart. Jesus, I gave myself to you and to you alone. And I won't be taken out by disappointment. I won't be taken out by the things that I don't understand. But I will remain strong, secure in your promises and what you have called me to do. So come on, why don't we stand to our feet right now? Because just in the last minute that we have left, I feel like there's many of us here and there's been a sense of disappointment that has lodged itself in our heart. And if we're to be real and honest today, there's that sense of, well, God, I need to give you that disappointment because that disappointment has blocked my fruitfulness. That disappointment has become my filter that I see everything through, and we need to change those filters out. So instead of seeing through our disappointment, we see through that lens of eternity, what matters for eternity. You know, some of us here, as I was praying about this morning, I felt even some of us here who are single, been looking for a spouse and we feel disappointed that God hasn't brought somebody across our path. Believe God wants you to know that what you're looking for isn't found in a marriage. He's got incredible kingdom purpose for you. And if you just lift your eyes to see, it's not a disappointment. Actually, He's setting you up for an incredible appointment. There's an incredible God purpose for you to step into. Stop looking at all the things you want in your own natural world. God has greater, so much greater for you. I feel others that there's been a disappointment that's happened in the past, and it's been this sense of, well, I just don't know whether I can trust God now. Again, it's become the filter that we've used today. God wants to say, would you trust me again? Would you go again? Would you believe again? Would you dream again? Would you have vision again for what I want to do through you? So come on, right across this place right now, why don't we lift our hands to heaven? Right now, Holy Spirit, this is a holy moment. Right now, where there has been disappointment, we give you that disappointment. Where there has been a sense of, God, where are you in the middle of this? God, we give you what we don't understand. And God, we give you that disappointment, knowing that you are a God that wants and has so much more for us. So God, I pray that right now we would choose to be people that would embrace praise, that we would choose to be people that would look for the appointment in the middle of the disappointment, and that we would be people that would choose to see with that eternal filter, knowing that we're going to stand before you one day and be held accountable with our fruitfulness. So right now we say that we don't want to live disappointed. We want to live fruitful. God, would you reveal, would you bring greater fruit through our lives, we pray. As we surrender afresh, as we pour out afresh, God, use us mightily, we pray. And right now, would you take the weight of all disappointment? Would you take the weight of more all misunderstanding? Would you take the weight of what we don't understand and we trust you with it? And we pray, God, use us, cleanse us, renew us, take anything out of our heart that is not of you. And we pray, God, that you would have your way. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.